about. So easy. You gotta put it into perspective.
Okay, everyone, as you know, one of my favorite things is fanfare for its own sake. So without further ado, let's all start clapping.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You gave it your best. But now it's time to say goodnight.
Let him go, Nancy.
Gail, he came back.
Oh, look. It's the Arts and Crafts Counselor. Still looking for a husband?
Right now, I'm only looking for two things. A class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder and an ass to kick. And it looks like I missed a class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder.
Corn, how'd that get in my bag?
Okay, sweetheart. Oh, my God.
And now.
Okay, let's do our best.
Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
Our feature presentation.
That's probably the best advice we're going to get for this show all day long. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday, the 29th of August. Ladies.
Good morning, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
Allie, you have, speaking of spider webs, but no doubt. You got something in your hair there?
What's not funny. It's not funny, Bean. I walked right into a spider web this morning, and it freaked me out, and I've just felt it the whole drive in.
I can see it on the back of your head right now.
Not funny. Not funny. Do you really?
Chip, peep it out. I think there might still be a spider in it, don't you think?
Don't. Seriously, though.
Doesn't it look like maybe there's something crawling around there?
Why would you do that? I'm already jumpy. I'm just feeling it all over my... It's like on my shirt.
You're fine.
On my skin.
You're fine. It's in your car.
Oh, no, Chip.
And probably over your front door, so you won't ever be able to live in that house again.
I'm moving.
Allie's going to walk out to the parking lot after the show, and it's just going to look like a giant glob of spider silk on top of her car. She won't even be able to open the door. There'll be so much spider silk.
I don't like any of this story.
Do you remember? I don't know if you were on the show when I had spiderlings hatch at my house, and I had about 200 of them, 200 tiny little baby spiders
on purpose.
I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. I wasn't the father, but they just hatched. A spider was out on a couch on the outside porch of my house.
Oh, God.
And it was just fascinating to watch them develop over the course of a few. I mean, they grow up so fast. But to watch them start off just as a tiny little ball of spiders and then start gradually getting further and further and further away from their mom, and then you see them start building webs, and then you see them start, you know, spreading out all over the yard. I mean, there were hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And it was a super fun couple of weeks having all those little spiderlings in the
house. Super fun?
Super fun, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, you need some sort of a silkwood bath or something if you're going to ever get past that. I got a story to get us started here.
Is a silkwood bath like a silkwood shower? It's just more relaxing.
I think a shower might be more appropriate. In a bath,
Can you imagine you're time for that silkwood bath? Oh, cool.
and then you're bathing in all the web, too.
What's happening?
It's the opposite of what needs to happen.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good catch right there. I call upon your many years of experience in TV news. Is it sweeps month now? Where are we August?
November will be the next one.
Oh,
yeah.
Well then I'm very surprised that this station in Minnesota, KMSP Channel 9, I'm surprised they ran this story if it's not even sweeps, but let's see what you think.
Airbags, collision sensors, anti-lock brakes, these technologies have made automobiles safer.
But here's something you may not have thought about. How well does your vehicle protect you from getting cancer?
Huh?
Oh, wow. They should have saved this for November. Total sweeps material.
Your car can give you cancer, you guys.
You've got to save that.
Right. I would think so. I know they think they're doing a public service by spreading the word early, but for God's sakes, think about the ratings. All right, let's find out how.
Well, that's something the Fox 9 investigators have been looking into. Here's Jeff Ballion.
I love that they have Fox 9 investigators going out to look to how your car gives you cancer. By the way, any idea how your car gives you cancer?
Maybe the coolant in the air conditioner?
All right. It's a good guess. Chip, you got anything?
Yeah, maybe something with like the, yeah, I was going to think of the filter, like air filters or something like that.
All right,
yeah.
Let's find out.
To drive Minnesota in the summer is to hurry up and wait. As you sit in steam in traffic, here's something to think about.
In the United States, you're more likely to have precancers and skin cancers on the left side of your body.
Huh?
Very true.
Very true, right?
Mm-hmm. Just from our time spent in the vehicles driving.
What is it about driving that puts you at risk of skin cancer?
I had a biopsy in my mid-back.
The same thing as hanging at the beach. Ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Now we're out there.
Right.
It's kind of like sitting in your yard for an hour, but don't feel like it because you're in the car.
So when you're in the car, normally, do you have any kind of sunscreen on?
No.
Nicole Lucas, whose family has a history of skin cancer, had never given any thought
None.
To her UV exposure while driving with the windows up.
By the way, I would like to say that I've never given any thought to UV exposure while driving with the windows up.
Interesting. I have.
I'm sure you have with your history, but yeah. I think you... I don't know why I would assume that there would be some sort of UV protection from all of the windows in your car, but clearly that's not the case.
I think most people are on your side, Bean.
Really? Just unaware of it?
Completely, yeah.
And that may be why this television station is doing the report. Let's find out more.
She just assumed she was protected by her car's glass.
We're going to measure the intensity of the UV.
But a simple test shows otherwise.
This is a typical clear, factory clear glass.
Jane Chow is a 3M scientist and an expert on materials that block ultraviolet radiation.
Why do news reporters talk like this guy?
Not sure. It's the most bizarre thing to me.
It is, because there's no way they turn off the mic and then continue to talk like that to their friends, family, and coworkers.
No, you
kill
them.
It's only for television.
Yeah.
I don't get it. All right, let's find out what the test is.
We'll calibrate again.
This little device will give us a general idea of how much UV is seeping into our news truck at this moment.
This one reads 2.3.
Only about 3% is able to penetrate the windshield.
And now with the window up.
But a check of the driver's window reveals a surprising result. About 30% of the UV radiation is able to pass through.
But there's...
So there you go.
Wow.
So the front windshield, it sounds like maybe he's got a little UV protection, not so much on the side windows.
Yeah, and so think about all the people that drive with the sunroof open.
Yes, same deal.
Yeah.
So I guess you're supposed to put on sunscreen now when you get in your car to drive?
Well, you should put on sunscreen every day, and I know people don't, but...
I don't.
You really should.
I know. My wife yells at me all the time.
Yeah.
She says, not only do you not want to get cancer, you don't want to look 150 years old when you're 60.
That's very true.
So
very true.
Anyway, so your car can give you cancer.
There's awesome.
There's a fun fact to take into your workday with you today. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love it. We are crazy if we don't go with that.
I agree with you. Hey, at around 7:15 this morning, we're going to be looking for your telephone calls. If you are a fan of the USC Trojans, we are doing a fan songs contest to give away football tickets for their home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum this weekend. This is going to be where you call up and sing your song about USC football, but we thought we might do something fun with it this time and have you do it to the tune of Fight On, the USC theme song, right? So your lyrics to the instrumental version of Fight On, the USC football song, that's what we're going to be looking for at around 7:50. If you want to start thinking about that, you might win some great tickets for this Saturday.
This won't end well.
Nope. Also, last night was a new Bachelor in Paradise report. I understand it was very special, but I don't know much beyond that. Ralph and Petros would be breaking that down for us around 7:30. We're going to get Beer Mug's mom on the show today. Find out what her level of enthusiasm and excitement is for the Dodgers as we head into the final weeks of the season. Will they fall apart, as she has been predicting all season long? By the way, all the times we've talked to Mama Muggs, she's never had an inkling that this could be one of the greatest Dodger seasons of all time. She has misread this situation all season long.
Yes, but she still has never been wrong in the past.
Well,
can we give her some props there?
They haven't won a lot of World Series in the last 25 years, that's for sure. We are going to be also doing what? Oh, we're also going to be telling you a little bit more about the planning going on behind the scenes about our very special Friday cover songs show. We're getting tremendous reaction to that.
Awesome.
And today, I think we're going to have to get into some guidelines, some ground rules on some of the cover songs that we're not going to be playing.
Oh.
And I know you think it's funny, chip to request certain songs.
Does it rhyme with Zimp Whisket?
How dare you?
But the point
His
is,
allegations are unfounded.
The point is we're trying to make it something people will actually want to listen to. And tonight is the season finale of one of our favorite shows in the whole wide world, Animal Kingdom. Comes to a close tonight, and one of our favorite actors in the whole wide world, Sean Hattasy, who's just, if he doesn't win an Emmy for this season, I'm telling you, I'm going to burn this mother down. We're going to have Sean on the program talk about what we can expect from the finale tonight. That'll be coming up at 8 o'clock. All that straight ahead, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi.
Do people know USC's fight song? Do they know Fight On? Can I play a little Fight On so we know what we're doing here?
Absolutely.
So that's the song. You're going to be singing to. You're going to make up your own lyrics for the USC fight song at around 7:15 this morning, and someone will win tickets for the home opener this weekend at the Coliseum. So plan on that. Get your act together. It's
Give me some football tickets. I'd like to go to the game real soon. Give me those USC tickets.
Wow.
So I can see football and with my groom.
We already have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. I guess there's no need to call. But if you want to try, that's coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with our first look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Everybody's talking about Justin Bieber's wang bone.
Oh.
Right?
Really?
I'm unfamiliar with this story. What's going on with Justin's wang bone?
Well, Selena Gomez put up all his nude pictures on on her Instagram account.
No, right. She
showing
didn't.
Off his wang bone.
There's a hack, though, right? Yeah, a hack?
That was going to be the second half of the story.
Oh, okay.
I was going to set you up with the whole thing like she posted it.
I wouldn't think she would.
Right?
That's
what everybody
like
would think.
Her.
And then the guy telling the story would come back and say, well, actually, it turned out to be a hack.
Oh, so, and then the surprise.
Oh, Allie, would the audience have enjoyed that?
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Take two.
Why do you think they have strap-ons and things in that nature?
Right? Yeah, several nude photos of Justin Bieber were posted on her account. You wonder if anybody noticed? Well, yeah, because she has 125 million followers.
Oh, wow.
She is the most followed person on Instagram.
Wow.
So no one took screenshots.
A lot of people noticed. We've all seen it before, however. These were the same ones that were published after their Bora Bora vacation in 2015. You remember that?
When he was on the balcony.
On the balcony, yeah.
I mean, I heard he was on the balcony.
Anyway. Minutes later, the hack was discovered and the posts were deleted. But still an embarrassment for Selena Gomez, who, of course, has had a famous on and off again relationship with Justin. However, they are no longer together. So it wasn't revenge porn. It was just evil hackers.
Mm-hmm.
Until Naked Photos of the Weekend go up next week. Then
right.
We find out this is just how she rolls.
Yeah. She's like a visual Taylor Swift. Instead of writing songs about dudes, she just puts up their naked pictures.
Oh.
Hmm. Right? Ruby Rose looks like she's ready to give up her career in show business. She's a breakout star, of course, from Orange is the New Black. She was in Fast and the Furious and a bunch of other stuff. But friends are saying she's burnt out and wants to head home to Australia.
Hmm.
One friend told NW Magazine, quitting Hollywood is the one thing she can smile about right now.
Aww.
Sad.
Yeah.
She reportedly is turning down all kinds of offers because she has told friends she'd rather have a fun life than a busy one. Well, wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Ruby Rose.
Some of us have to work, Ruby.
Yeah. She's talented, though. I hope she sticks around.
She really is. And pretty. I'm just saying she's really pretty. That's all.
No, you said she's pretty. Some weird.
It was different. It was different.
It was
than
creepy.
Just regular pretty.
No,
it
was creepy.
There was nothing creepy
I
about
just
it.
Pretty.
I was emphasizing how
You're not calling
attractive.
The pigs in from the back 40.
I was it's a little creepy.
Yeah,
emphasizing
is.
How attractive she is by pretty. Just saying, not just is she pretty, she's pretty. Just saying,
Nikki Bella. Soon to be Mrs. John Cena. She's busy planning their upcoming wedding. However, she might be a little busy with something else. Rumors have it that she's joining the cast of Dancing with the Stars. Now, she hasn't confirmed that rumor, but she did tell Entertainment Tonight that she would totally compete if that were the case and hopes that she wouldn't embarrass herself. I can't imagine she would. She seems to be a pretty graceful lady, don't you think?
I love her.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Just
saying.
And I hate the fake news. Don't you hate the fake news?
I hate the fake news.
Oh, fake news.
Yeah.
So tired of all this fake news. Like that fake Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper. They were doing a story about retired Packers defensive lineman Jerry Kramer. Legend. In fact, he is nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. And they talked about the team's other legendary players. And they wanted to reference the team's center that played alongside Jerry Kramer, Jim Ringo, classic player Jim Ringo. However, in the story, they said that Jerry's teammate was the legendary Packers center Ringo Starr.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
Turned out some people brought to their attention that Ringo Starr, although being a wildly popular Beatle, never in fact played for the Green Bay Packers.
Great hands, though.
He did have great hands. And so some people caught the error, which led to them having to print the retraction that Ringo Starr never in fact played for the Green Bay Packers.
Speaking of football, Ralph, I just want to ask you, because we won't have a place to put this later, and you brought up the NFL. Matthew Stafford, the highest paid player in football right now.
Yes.
Does that seem right to you? Is he a $27 million a year guy?
Of course not. But here's the thing, it's all a matter of perspective, because the numbers keep growing and the contracts, as they expire and the new ones are agreed to, those numbers keep rising. So he's currently the most highly compensated
player. Just until Aaron Rodgers' deal runs out.
Right, until the next guy's deal runs out, and then he has to, they re-sign whoever, and then that person will be. I mean, the numbers just keep climbing. There seems to be no ceiling in the NFL.
There's no ceiling, and I know the NFL makes a ton of money, but what, yes?
Yes, Allie. How's Edelman feeling? Do we know?
Oh. Show of hands, is anyone else paying Cutler $10 million a year?
No, okay. No, Chip, no. Edelman is not doing great.
Yeah.
He's out for the whole year.
He's
right?
out for the whole year.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about your magician.
Yeah, John Dorbos has been traded.
Are you upset?
To the Saints, right?
Sad news. Yeah, he was a great Eagle and
did a lot for the community,
tons
right?
Of the community. Everybody loved him. He was a terrific teammate, and of course, you know, he was on America's Got Talent. He was a magician. He was entertaining in the locker room. Everybody loved John, but he's a long snapper.
Well, there's no need to call him names.
No, that was his position, Allie.
Oh.
He would snap the ball in special teams. And although a unique skill, not exactly a highly prized, coveted role on the team. So they had an opportunity to give in I think it was a seven-rounder. They got a draft pick in 2019 for him. And they've got already a kid on there who does a real good job. So time for him to go. It's business, baby. Just business.
I was just hoping you were okay.
I'm okay. I love John, but the world changes.
This has been our NFL update.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Elliot Gould is 79 years old today. Carla Gugino turns 45. Lea Michele, one of Allie's favorites, 30 years old today. And Liam Payne celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour away from the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph and Petros. How was last night's episode? Just give me a preview. Ralph, was it good?
It was legendary. My boy?
Really?
Yeah. It was awesome.
I can't wait to hear about that. That is coming up. First, though, we had a conversation. Ralph, you were actually out last week, but we had a conversation on the air about a cover song that we were playing, Boys of Summer by the Utahs.
Ah.
And we started talking about cover songs and how many awesome K-Rock cover songs there are. And then we decided, wouldn't it be fun to do a whole day of nothing but cover songs? And I think that's what we're putting together for this coming Friday morning. And we'll play some of the, favorites like, Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Higher Ground and 311 Love Song, No Doubt It's My Life, songs like that that you hear on K-Rock. But then we're going to try to go a little bit deeper, too, and maybe pull out some ones that we haven't played in a while.
Yeah, go deeper.
And I mentioned this on the social media last night. We're getting so many great requests for things like Foo Fighters' "Darling Nikki," for instance, which is so awesome, which you would never hear. Nine Inch Nails doing the Joy Division "Dead Souls" song, Route 66 by Depeche Mode. The list goes on and on and on. And we're taking your suggestions right now for what kind of cover songs you'd like to hear on Friday morning show. You can either text it to us at the regular number, 800-520-1067. You can call the Afro line if you'd rather leave a voicemail message at 323-520-AFRO. Or you can tweet us at Kevin and Bean. What cover songs do you want to hear on Friday? Now, I say all that to say this. A lot of cover songs are awful. and should never be played, should never have been recorded, should never have been heard, should never have been released, and certainly will not be played on Friday. And we thought this might be a good opportunity today on this Kevin and Bean show to maybe put down some ground rules about some songs that we're not going to be hearing. And I think when you start thinking about things that you never want to do on the radio, the first person you think about is Dave, the King of Mexico. Right?
Yes.
Dave, we're going to let you start this round of we're doing the worst cover songs you could think of.
I mean, just
so nobody gets the idea that they're going to be a wise ass and try to get this on K-Rock Friday. That's what this category is all about.
Yeah, listen, this cover song is done by a band I actually like. Mm-hmm. It's Korn with a cover of Cameo's Word Up.
Oh, no.
We do not need it. And it is not good.
I
don't know. I've heard a lot worse Korn songs. As far as Korn goes, it's not too bad.
I don't
reconsider that one.
No, we don't need that.
I'm not sure I need it. By the way, that reminds me. What was your guys' take? I know it was a very polarizing song that was a big hit, I think, just last year. Disturbed's version of The Sounds of Silence. What did you guys think about that?
It was awesome.
I was a no as well. Did you like it, Ralph?
It was awesome.
How about you, Allie? What'd you think?
Hard pass.
Hard pass on that, too.
Boo.
All right. Ralph, what are you suggesting that we avoid on Friday?
This is something no one can refute. This is an absolutely awful, awful cover song that cannot, will not, should not ever be played. It is the legendary Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party, as done by country assholes Big and Rich.
Well, your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Oh, mommy just jealous. It's a Big and Rich boy.
No.
Come on.
You gotta fight.
Nope.
For your right.
Nuh-uh. Stay in your lane. Leave us alone, Big and Rich.
Yeah, that's murder button. That's what that is. Although, how about Coldplay's version of Fight for Your Right to Party that they did at the Hollywood Bowl show? We used to play that on K-Rock. That was awesome, right?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
That was actually a nice tribute.
But not Big and Rich.
No, not Big and Rich. All right, let's keep it in the country vein. Allie McKay, you're up next.
This song is a travesty. Almost as big of a travesty is the listener that sent me video of a bar band doing a cover as this cover version. It is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. It is Purple Rain, done by Dwight freaking Yoakam.
I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain.
How dare you?
There's no Prince banjo really crossover ever. There's no Venn diagram that's got banjo in one circle and Prince songs in another circle.
But yet, this is the number one requested song on Keep It 100 for the Ralph Garman version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. How about Christine Fong, who really stunk up the room with her best cover last week?
That should be the worst, really.
No. We should just play the same song again.
Okay, nice. I thought about bringing that song back in.
You should have.
You should have.
But there is another one.
Yeah.
These are two great tastes that do not taste great together. I don't know in what world the Duran Duran guys ever thought that 911 is a joke, Public Enemy.
Oh,
that
no.
That was a good idea. It is not. This is not good.
It's
not good.
I just don't
think
that's
a real song.
No, it's not.
Middle-aged white guys should not be covering hip-hop songs.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the most tone-deaf, I think, of all.
I do.
For people to make that decision is really wrong-headed.
Christine, there were fans of that covers album that Duran Duran did. How did you feel about their version of White Lines, which is, again, them attempting to do a hip-hop number?
I really did not like that album, and I liked that band a lot.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it was kind of a misstep for me.
All right, I'm going to, I'll go next. This is a woman who has limited vocal skills, and she's fine when she's doing pop and dance numbers. She should never attempt rock and roll. And she certainly should never attempt to love rock and roll as she does this cover of the Joan Jett's cover. Here's Britney Spears. Singing, I love rock and roll. So put another dime in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll. So come and take the time and dance with me.
Is she actually singing on that song?
I mean, who knows with Britney Spears,
right? All I can hear is the backup singers, really.
It sounds like a kids' bop version of I Love Rock and Roll, doesn't it? Like, yeah. How did people's grown-ups signed off on her recording and releasing that as a single, for God's sakes?
That's nuts.
All right, you think it's as bad as it gets hearing Britney doing rock and roll. Let's bring Chip in.
So this goes together like peanut butter and crap, but The Who being covered by Limp Bizkit.
Oh dear.
Behind Blue Eyes.
No. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man
behind Blue Eyes. All right, now this may be a controversial...
Again, not the worst Limp Bizkit song.
Yeah, I was going to say, this may be controversial, but does that part of the song sound all that different from the Who original?
Not really.
Mm-mm.
It's got the acoustic guitar and the vocals.
What's your problem, Chip, when it kicks in? Does it go awful? Does it go off the rails for you or something?
Yeah, there's a weird bridge where there's like an intercom guy like talking, but you can't really make out what he's saying, and... Yeah, it's just, no.
Hmm. While we're talking about cover songs, how about Limp Bizkit's Faith, though, which for me holds up, their cover of the George Michael song. What do you guys think about that?
Stop it.
Go away.
No
love for Faith either? Yeah.
I think it works.
I don't think it's terrible.
There you go. Oh. Christine doesn't think it's terrible. All right,
so scratch Faith. I got it. You can text us at 1-800-520-1067, your favorite cover song. If you want to try to get something on the playlist for Friday, you can call the Afro line, leave a voicemail message at 333-520-AFRO, or tweet us at Kevin Amin. It's going to be a fun show on Friday. Dave is drowning in the next room. Over 300 texts have come in for cover songs for Friday. Friday's going to be a long show, you guys. We may be on all weekend long.
Oh, my goodness.
Playing your songs. Hey, just ahead of Ralph's Showbiz Beat, another quick reminder, we want to give away some tickets to USC home opener versus Western Michigan at the Los Angeles Coliseum this Saturday. We're going to be asking you to sing, make up some lyrics for this song. Ralph, you want to give us an example of how that might go when they call in around 15 minutes?
Sure.
Give me some tickets now, or I will be really angry at you. I love USC, and I'm a fan. And I'd like to go to the football game with you.
All right, so that's what we're going to be looking for in about 15 minutes or so to win your tickets for the Trojans home opener coming up on K-Rock. Tuesday morning, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Now. What's going on at 6:52?
Oh, Katy Perry's in a world of hurt. Being sued.
Oh, no kidding.
Being sued by Christina Fish. You don't want that.
No.
Who's Christina Fish, you may ask?
Why?
She was a former stagehand for Katy Perry's Prismatic World Tour in 2014. Until that fateful night in Raleigh, North Carolina, when she was backstage and she was asked to help move a wall, one of the set pieces. It got stuck, and then they finally pushed it free, and then it rolled across her foot. That's when Christina Fish claimed she felt her shoe fill with blood, in her words.
Oh.
Yeah. She was offered ice backstage, but no one called for an ambulance, she says.
Well, they offered her ice.
Right. What more do you want?
That'll take care of your shoe filled with blood.
Make a nice cocktail. So she had to call a friend to pick her up and take her to the ER. Her right toe became gangrenous.
Oh.
Eventually needed to be taken off.
Dude.
She wasn't able to use her foot for months. Sad. She said she also suffered great emotional distress because her doctors instructed her to keep her dead toe on as long as possible before they had to amputate. That sounds like bad doctoring to me. Christina said, I had a passion for yoga. But that's now all a distant memory without a toe.
Can you not do yoga if you only have 9 toes?
You try to balance on 1 foot with 4 toes.
I think people do it.
No, they don't. don't know.
Neither of you have any idea.
No idea. So now Christina Fish, who's deficient in the tow department to the tune of one, is suing Katy Perry, Live Nation, and a bunch of stage production companies for a whole lot of money.
Now,
what is the worth of a tow, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury?
Do we know which toe?
Mm.
It does make a difference. Mm-hmm. Big or little makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yes, it would make a difference.
Not in the article.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
The story's from TMZ. You can go there, and apparently they've got pictures.
I don't need that.
That's how I felt. I did not click.
We usually, when lawsuits come up in the showbiz beat, they are frivolous.
Yes.
This one sounds like it might be legitimate, an actual workplace injury. She might be entitled to something, right?
I would feel like she's a part of a union, and she has insurance. Mm-hmm. No? Am I wrong with that?
These are questions I cannot answer. I don't know. Is North Carolina perhaps a non-union state, maybe?
I think the whole tour would be a union
hired,
thing.
Was it a spot hire? Sometimes they hire locally.
Well, she did have a friend there that took her to the ER.
Sometimes they hire locally if they need extra help for shows sometimes.
Oh, dear.
And it might make a huge difference what she was doing if she was in, catering or in set design. Maybe a totally different deal, too.
It says she was a stagehand. Hired as a stagehand.
Oh, stagehand. Okay, gotcha.
But still.
Well, I don't like to see Katy Perry sad. I know that.
It's a toe.
It's a toe. It's bad. It's a bad break. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's a bummer, but it's a toe.
Mm-hmm. But she's suing Live Nation, too?
Everybody.
Oh,
Everybody's getting sued.
That toe was worth a lot to
her.
That's
what I'm thinking. Not that much. It's a toe.
Does it say what she's suing for?
It does not.
Oh.
It says a lot of money.
Hmm.
So, I'm sure you can do a deep dive if you want to follow up on the details. Find out more about the toe.
Click on the pic.
You know, he's got problems. This Jason Mitchell from Straight Outta Compton. He's got problems. I don't know if you saw the video, but he was on a first-class flight on Delta, and apparently his seat was given to someone else. Bit of a misunderstanding. That's when Mr. Mitchell lost his mind, unleashed a lot of profanity on the crew and the flight attendants and the pilot, dropped a lot of F-bombs. Crew had to call the police. He was cuffed. Detained and disembarked. Delta has chosen not to press charges, but it was a big deal. So
I would be willing to bet anything that the words "Don't you know who I am?" came out of his mouth.
I don't know. I don't know if he had room for those. There were so many F bombs. I don't know if he had time for any other words.
Don't you effing know who I am?
Yeah, then. Maybe perhaps that was it. Yeah. And we were just talking about covers: good covers, bad covers, covers of all kinds. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Michelle Branch and her fiancé, Patrick Carney of the Black Keys, they have a new cover song out.
Hmm.
It is a song on the soundtrack of the Netflix animated series BoJack Horseman. The album will be out digitally on September 8th. And appropriately, these are all horse-themed songs.
Okay.
This is a version of America... And their 1972 smash hit, A Horse With No Name.
Oh.
Love that song.
Been Through the Desert on a Horse With No Name. So Michelle Branch and her fiancé Patrick Carney have gotten together to work on this little song, and here's a little taste. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert. That song's awful.
I hate it.
It's not for me.
Even the original's awful.
How dare you?
Oh, it's awful. It really is.
I mean,
is.
It sounds like there are a lot of drugs involved in the.
What the hell is it about? Well, why does it exist? There's no point. No need for that song.
Big number one song, too.
Yeah, it's a dumbass song. Stop it.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
I will not allow it.
I didn't know they were together. That's
what?
All I'm thinking about.
Come on,
they've been together a couple years.
Wow.
Come on.
They're a cute couple. I like them. I like them together.
Okay.
Bean likes them together.
Well, you know you have feelings about certain celebrities as
sure,
a couple.
Sure.
I like them together.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Elliot Gould. Legendary actor Elliot Gould.
probably best known to a lot of our listeners from the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 movies, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, or Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan, for sure.
Oh, yeah, Ray Donovan, too, sure.
79 years old today. Carla Gugino is 45 years old. Lea Michele turns 30 years old, and singer Liam Payne is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
The Bachelor in Paradise report. Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us, along with Ralph Garman, walking us through last night's episode on ABC. Also, Sean Hattasy from Animal Kingdom joins us just after 8. How great has this season been, Allie?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows on TV. We do everything we can to get people to be reminded of that and tune in and find it on TNT Tuesday nights. Tonight's the season finale. Definitely, it's going to be great. First, though, USC. It's finally time. College football is here. Home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum this Saturday. We've been telling you all morning, and now is the time to call. If you can sing a song about the team, about why you need to be there, about your love for college football, whatever it is, you're singing a song to this melody. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on the air coming up in about 10 minutes or so, and someone with tickets to the home opener. All right, a great story out of India. Well,
wow. Nope.
Not great for the men involved. A fascinating story out of India. How about that? A lot of people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they do a lot of things in the name of religion. Mm-hmm. Religion has made people do lots of things, some heroic things and some horrific things, yeah, and some inexplicable things. And this is one of those. There is a man in India whose name is Gurmeet Ramsam Singh. He is many things. In fact, his Twitter bio, he describes himself as a spiritual saint, a philanthropist, a versatile singer, an all-round sports person, sure, a film director, an art director, a music director, a script writer, a lyricist, an autobiographer, and a DOP. What's a DOP? Do we have any idea what that is?
I don't.
We'll have to ask him. Well, the reason he is in the news is that he is a very, very wealthy man, and is now, people are saying, hey, what have you been doing with all these men that you have been convincing to castrate themselves?
Oh, no.
His followers, he says, hey, only the castrated get to meet God. And according to this report in India Today, he has convinced more than 400 men to get their testicles removed.
Oh, no.
You must be an astonishing preacher to be able to talk somebody into cutting off their testicles.
Yeah, but he's saying that's the only way they'll meet God.
That's the only way, yes.
Oh,
so no. I have many questions about this, and I'm sure you do too. So we asked Dave if there's any way we could get the spiritual leader Gurmeet Ramsam Singh on the phone, and he joins us on K-Rock right now from India. Hello there, sir. How are you?
Hello, how are you, my friend?
We're doing fine, but there's some very ugly details in this report in the India Today. Do you have a comment?
I do have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
You yes. want to share it?
Ouch is a comment for the men involved who cut off their testicles. Yes.
That's very painful what those poor fellows went through.
Yeah.
Yes, but
well, they're doing it because you're telling them.
Hold on a second, lady.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think I'm guilty of these things that they're saying about me? I am very upset that these allegations have been levied against me. These allegations disturb me. When I'm doing such good things for humanity.
Okay, a man has come forward named Hans Raj Chauhan. He said
he's been a troublemaker for a long time. Hans
well,
Ron.
He is breaking the silence against him and other victims of your church. He says that you told them if they got castrated, they would be able to meet God and no other way, and they took you at your word and had their testicles sliced off.
First of all, that's not how he said it.
What did he say?
He said like this. They told me if I could meet God. That's why I said it. So please get it right, okay?
Gurmeet, you can't make fun of his voice after you made him cut his testicles off.
Nice to Gurmeet you, by the way.
Oh, dear.
Nice to Gurmeet you as well.
First of all, let me tell you that he is... He's got more problems than having no testicles, my friend. I think he is mentally disturbed and confused regarding what I said. I said, first of all, in order to meet God, you need to have no balls.
Okay. That seems pretty self-explanatory that
but
they
I
need to...
Your confidence can't be so big. You need to sublimate yourself for God. You need to be humility. Your humility needs to be in place for God.
Maybe word it like that.
So, people say, hey, why don't you grow some balls? But they mean get courage. When I say you have no balls, it means just be meek, be mild, be a pussycat. Be a little pussycat.
It was just a misunderstanding.
A little misunderstanding.
Okay.
I say one little thing and this guy goes and gets his balls taken off. It's hardly my problem.
Okay. I feel like after 400 men, though, that misunderstanding, like maybe you'd have a meeting and be like, hey, stop.
I should have reconsidered what I was saying, I think, at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it's on you a little bit, Gurmeet.
Well, look. I think it's sometimes this, you, sometimes friends can have a misunderstanding and there can be a problem and then you have to just move forward.
But most misunderstandings don't end up with you cutting your balls off.
1 second, please. Next! I'm sorry. Doing a little service here in my church.
Oh, I'm nervous about what that is.
Next!
Yes. No. Again with that?
Next!
That doesn't sound like a misunderstanding. Next. It sounds like you're doing that on purpose. Oh, geez.
Yes. I'm just cracking some nuts. What? Walnuts? What's wrong with you? Why is everyone misunderstanding me so much? Oh, these crazy people.
It's time to fight on. Hit it, Steve.
Fight on. You sing a song. You will win tickets to a USC football game. Fight on. You sing a song. But make sure you're not lame. Don't be lame. Fight on, okay. You sing a song.
Thank you, Omar.
It's time to sing your song. The game is on.
Okay. Are we, all right, that's fine. Thank you. Are we going to regret this one, Allie, or do you think this is going to ultimately?
I believe we will regret this.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, there's no chance this goes well, right?
No.
All right, so sing like Omar did, but better. Sing a song to the USC fight song, and somebody wins tickets to the home opener this weekend. Let's start with Will. He's in Long Beach. Will, we appreciate you listening and calling and hanging on. You get to go first. So good luck to you, my friend.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Come on, Kevin and Bean. Consider me, go to the game, fight on, or USC, so I can drink a bunch of beers. Will I be drunk? Probably. Cheer K-Rock? Yes, indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Will from Long Beach. I enjoyed that very much, sir. Please hang on. Let's try Jonathan, Los Angeles, up next, line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jonathan, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, bros?
Are you a USC alum or just a Trojans fan?
1995, three of the five kids in my family went.
How about that? All right. Well, you know the song well. Let's hear what you're doing with it.
I'm the class of 95, USC, makes you feel so alive. Give me tickets or I will die. Hey, man, give them to an alumni.
See, it had a surprise ending.
Yeah, sure
I like
did.
It. All right, Jonathan, please hang on. We've got two Armandos on the phone. Let's take the one in Santa Clarita first. He's on line two. Armando, welcome to the program. Cool. Thank you for listening. Let's hear what you're doing.
All right. All right, guys. Good morning. Hey, that's no fair. He's an alumni. He gets free tickets or he gets them at a discount price.
Well, I don't know how to help you with that, Armando. I'm sorry.
I know. All right, here we go. Fight on. T-Rock is awesome. I hope I win these tickets. Fight on. God, I just messed up and I ruined myself. But I want to go watch USC. Kick butt. Fight on.
I appreciate the commitment. Well done, Armando. You didn't let stumbling out of the gate impact your ability to finish the race. Well done, sir. Let's go to the other Armando. He's in Montrose, line seven, please, up next. By the way, I'm sort of impressed so far, Allie. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
This is okay.
All right.
Sounds like you're not with me. All right. Armando, number two, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good luck to you. Let's do a little fight on, shall we?
Fight on, you sing a song.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Omar. Go ahead, Armando.
I want to go to the game. T-R-O-Q, send me to the game. My girl should hook me up if you gave me tickets to the freaking game. Yo, yes, the freaking game.
All right, sir. Thank you. Hold on. Let's go to line six. This is going to be Albert, Los Angeles. Albert, what's going on, dude?
Morning, everyone.
Got a song for us?
Here I go. Ready?
Yeah.
Quiero ir al partido de los Trojans para ver grandes chiches, para ver grandes chiches.
I don't know. I love the Grandes Chiches part. I felt like there should be more, though. I felt like you hit hard early, but then just kind of faded away. All right. Thank you, Albert. I appreciate the effort. Let's go to Mikey, Long Beach, line 8. Do you have a favorite, by the way, yet, Allie?
No.
Okay. Mikey, welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, Kevin? How you guys doing?
We're great. We want to give away some tickets for the home opener for USC this weekend at the Coliseum. You're going to do a little fight on for us. What do you got?
All right. Mikey is my name. I want to go to the freaking game. Oh, yeah. Mikey is going to be super wasted before he goes into the game, into the game, into the game. Oh, yeah. That's it right there.
Mikey, I think you're super wasted now. Well done, sir. Hang on. Let's do one more. Let's make it Melody Downey, line 4. First lady on the phone, I think, maybe? Melody, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Not much. Just sitting in traffic. Hope to win.
So what do you think of your competition? You've had the opportunity to hear all the other fight-ons. How do you think you're going to do?
Good. I hope I don't disappoint.
Okay. Well, good luck. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. Kevin and Bean. And Allie and Ralph and Dave, the team, please give me tickets to go and see USC. My husband and I are huge fans, so help me, Lord, it's over him. Fight on, go Trojans.
Kind of a surprise ending. Okay. All right.
Yeah, she did her own thing.
Yeah, she did. I like that she's not constricted by the melody of the song.
No. With that name.
I loved Will, I'm going to be honest, in Long Beach, line 1. Allie, do you have any feelings at all about Will?
Or? I feel great about Will, if you're good with Will.
Let's go back to line 1 then. Will, my man, we want to send you as our guest this weekend to see Western Michigan come to town to take on the number 4 ranked USC at their home opener. How do you feel about that?
Very good, Kevin and Dean. Thank you so much. You too, Allie. Love you guys.
Thanks,
thank
Will.
You, Will. And thank you for calling, and thank you for listening, and thank you for playing Fight On.
Fight on, you sing a song.
Sean Hattasey from TV's Animal Kingdom joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about the season finale on the TV tonight. Love Sean. Can't wait to talk to him. First, though, speaking of TV, last night was another episode of Bachelor in Paradise. It's time for the update. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, cause all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and B, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
All right, Ralph is here. Check. And I believe Petros Papadakis is here on the phone. Hey, P, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you.
Good morning, buddy. I'll tell you, last night they kicked it off the show properly, didn't they, when they were sticking random items in Jack Stone's mouth? That was fun, wasn't it?
Hey, Stoney didn't like that very much.
No, they were stuck an old crab in his mouth.
What?
They were playing a little game, Allie, where they would blindfold Jack Stone.
Okay.
Attorney Jack Stone, he'll fight for you.
Sure.
And they were putting random things in his mouth to see if he could tell what they were sticking in his mouth.
I don't love this game.
They were trying to get it in between the beautiful white rows of his pearly, perfect teeth.
He does have some great teeth. A little piece of papaya he had to guess, and a little jalapeno.
All right.
And then, you know, Alexis thought it'd be funny to take an old, rotting, dead crab from the beach and try to jam it in his mouth. And Jack bristled at that.
Yeah.
Why is this a thing that is happening on your TV?
Because when you're on Paradise, I think there's a lot of downtime around
no
the TVs, old resort.
No cell phones.
Yep, and you're just there in between dates and in between fights. You're just looking for ways to kill time, and sometimes you got to randomly jam debris in Jack Stone's mouth.
Okay. Dead debris, dead flesh carcass, not meant to be eaten.
That all changed when Kristen showed up. She added some spice. I like Kristen a lot, P. I'm with you. I think she's lovely, and she's busty, and she seems to have a nice sense of humor about herself. Here's Kristen.
My name is Kristen. I'm from Nick's season of The Bachelor. People will probably remember me as being a virgin, so still remains the same. I mean, is paradise even paradise without a virgin in it?
Good point.
Great point.
She had a date card, and she decided she was going to go on a date with Matt. Now, Matt had a previous relationship with Jasmine. And Jasmine, for those of you who don't remember, was from Nick's season. She tried to choke him out. Remember, she was the one who liked to choke people.
Oh.
She's a little excitable.
She's mentally ill, P. I think that's what you meant to say. She's crazy. She's a nutcase.
She gets a little riled up, and she likes to physically wrestle with her men.
Kristen asked Matt out. Jasmine did not care for that, and she decided to express that to her.
You know what? I should say something, right? Like, she's mad. You want good TV, ABC? I'm about to give you good TV. Here we go.
Oh, no.
My. It is on.
Calling out the network. Give me the call letters right now. They're hundreds of years old.
She broke the fourth wall. That's how upset she is, P. And it was such a letdown.
Peter Jennings rolled over in his grave right there.
It was such a non-confrontation when she finally got to, in Kristen's face.
Yeah, they didn't really want. They didn't really. It's like an NBA fight. Nobody really wanted a fight.
Honestly, it's totally fine. It just made us from,
I know,
the conversation we had, it just seemed like you kind of knew, and to do that kind of seemed like it seemed a little like sneaky and slimy.
No, there was
just from what you said to me and then happening. So have fun, do you, enjoy your date, whatever. Hope you guys fall in love, but do you. Just wanted to say that's how I felt.
Oh, she dropped the do you on her.
Mm.
So they went on a date, and I think Kristen and Matt hit it off pretty well. They were making out in the ocean and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, she's a very pretty girl, and, you know, you like her bust or her behind ain't bad either, Rob. She's not bad coming or going.
I agree, P. However, she got back after the date, and she and Matt had a pretty good time. She was afraid of how Jasmine would react, and I think she had a reason to be afraid. Here's Kristen talking about it.
I had a fantastic time with Matt today on a date. I feel like I'm in a good spot to get Matt's rose, but I'm a little scared of Jazz. I don't want her to do the chokey on me.
I don't want her to do the chokey on me.
Oh, no. Really?
She should have worn a neck roll.
No, nobody wants the chokey.
She's a grown woman, Ralph?
Which one?
The one who said just use the word chokey. I don't want to do the chokey.
Yeah, I think that's her move. I think it's Jasmine's move is the chokey.
All right.
And, you know, a lot of people are really into it. It's called autoerotic asphyxiation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's not auto when you're doing it to someone else, P. it's auto when you do it to yourself and they find you hanging in the closet. But if someone else is choking you out, it's just called assault.
You know, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was incorrect.
And I think Kristen had a reason to be afraid of Jasmine because here was Jasmine's reaction to how she was really feeling about Kristen going out with Matt.
Kristen is a little bitch. You can't trust people like that. Like, if we weren't on TV right now, I'd probably just, like, push her, punch her in the face a little bit.
I'd punch her in the face a little bit.
Oh, man.
Wow.
If we weren't on TV.
She's
well, haven't you ever done that? Just giving somebody, like, a little fist to the face just to let them know your fist is hard and it's there and you could do it even harder if you wanted?
Not so much, B. No.
No.
Like, hey, look what could happen. Look at that. Look at that right there.
No, wow. I don't think so. So now Matt is in between Crazy Jasmine and Kristen the Virgin. He's stuck there in paradise between these two ladies.
Who would you take?
Kristen in a heartbeat.
But she's a virgin. The other one might choke you to death, but...
Not worth it. Not worth the crazy.
Yeah.
But Matt takes the, well, the coward's way out, some would say. Here's what Matt decides to do.
I'm glad I came here, and I'm glad I gave it a shot. I just think that I'm ready to go home.
Whoa.
He quits.
Oh. I respect it.
He runs. He runs just, like a coward.
You can just give up on the game and say, send me home?
Tap out.
Of course.
Wow.
Danielle did it last week. You can just leave. You can just leave anytime you want. It's not a sort of internment camp, Bean. It's just a beach.
I thought there was a fence with barbed wire.
It's just a resort. You know, you can get on a plane and go back home.
Yeah. Oh, all right. That changes everything.
So,
you know, he saw that the women weren't treating each other with respect and falling into the stereotype of women going after each other over a man who's manipulated them both. And he said, you know what? This is not the way I want to portray myself and my family, and I'm just going to gracefully back out of this situation. I've done wrong.
Well, that was dumb of him. He should have given the rose to Kristen and sent Jasmine home because she's nuts.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, I felt bad for Kristen and Jasmine because they were depending on the rose ceremony for someone to give them a rose.
Yeah.
Now with one less guy to have a rose to give out, they're both in jeopardy. So Chris Harrison, as always, did the right thing. He stepped in and fixed the situation.
What a prince.
By bringing an additional man into the mix to replace the now gone Matt. And he brought in one of our all-time favorites.
You're not positive where your rose is coming from tonight? This is Daniel.
The Canadian Eagle's lining.
The Canadian Eagle! Daniel.
Now, why do we remember him, Ralph? What
because
was his deal?
Daniel was the one who would wear the Canadian flag Speedo, and he would talk about he's an eagle, you don't want to be a pigeon.
He's funny.
He's the best. He pours maple syrup all over himself.
And the ladies like him.
Oh, the ladies love him because he's buff, and he's got a giant maple leaf there on his Speedos, and it needs to be giant.
Ralph, did you like the other girls calling out Kristen for having those dirty scallop fingers and bullying her around at the bar?
I did not like the bullying of scallop fingers.
What is scallop fingers mean?
Oh, you don't know about no scallop fingers?
What's happening? No, what does that mean?
They said that the virgin Kristen popped out like a whole bag of scallops out of her purse when they were like all on some Escalade going to a party and was like eating her fingers with raw scallops and then touching everybody. And then she grabbed a shrimp, and gave a girl a hug with the shrimp just dangling around on the back of her head while she was hugging her. And everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, she's got a shellfish thing. She just puts shellfish on everybody.
Kristen does eat a lot of seafood with her fingers. And she has gotten the unfortunate nickname of scallop fingers.
No one wants that.
Around the beach. So poor Kristen now is being referred to by most people as scallop fingers. And I thought it was unfair.
I thought it was mean and unfair. But also, she did grab that scrimp and start waving it around.
She did.
It's one thing to, you know, hug somebody when you have a dry tortilla chip or a Frito in your hand.
Yeah.
But when you have a greasy, like, wiggling ass shrimp, a Mexican shrimp.
Wait, why do you say it like that?
Why the shrimp got to be Mexican?
I'm just saying, it's shot up with iodine. You know, they don't have the regulations.
It's not. It's fine.
It does sound like salmonella is waiting
Mexican
to happen.
Coke? It's got like 5,000 calories.
Because it's real sugar. It's not that corn syrup
It'll
stuff.
It'll kill you.
It's the best.
I feel like we got off on a tangent.
We may have. So tonight is the rose ceremony. We'll see who sticks around. We'll see what influence Daniel's presence has on the beach. And, of course, part two of tonight's episode, Corinne tells all. They're going to get her there. We'll get to hear her version of the story of what happened between her and DeMario and why production was shut down.
Now, that sounds like it would be worth revisiting the BIP report tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, yes?
I'm free tomorrow if you would care to do that. I can't speak for my partner, Mr. Puppet.
Well, P's coming in tomorrow. P, you're coming in to do a college football preview for us tomorrow, right?
Yeah, if I can, I got a shipment of oysters coming in at the dock.
I'm going to eat it with my fingers,
man. I'm going to get it this raw, and then I'm coming up with my oyster finger.
Bean scallop fingers. We'll be waiting for you.
Ooh, thank you, Pete. Oyster fingers.
Thank you, Ralph. This has been the Bachelor in Paradise Report.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
If I may, ahead of Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning, just another quick plug to go to the American Red Cross at redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW or text the word Harvey to 90999. Those are all ways that you can donate to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey in Texas and the Gulf Coast. Also, the Salvation Army is another place you can go if you'd prefer, salvationarmyusa.org or call 1-800-SAL-ARMY. They have not just months at this point, but years of rebuilding. After this storm that has gone through Texas and is now heading into Louisiana right now. It's unbelievable. If you're a person who doesn't watch the news because you're a kid, it is a natural disaster this country hasn't seen in a long, long time. So if you can help, please do help. Actor Sean Hattissey right up to the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Update on the stagehand for Katy Perry's tour in 2014 who lost a toe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have it in. We did some research.
Okay.
It is the right big toe.
Oh,
lost the big toe.
That changes things.
Changes everything.
Yeah.
Now, did you go and look at the photos on TMZ, Ralph?
I did not. I had someone on the eighth floor, one of our staff members up there in research.
The blind guy look at it?
Yes.
Ooh.
Big toe. We're talking big toe.
Yeah.
Can't do anything without a big toe.
It's hard.
Fall over.
Yeah.
Fall right over.
No yoga.
That's for sure.
So you be the jury. What's that worth? If it wasn't her fault, it was just a workplace accident, and she deserves to be compensated, that's the ruling? What do you get for
$803.
That seems low to me.
Very low.
Why? Because of all the money she was making doing yoga? It cuts into her yoga career?
She can't do yoga.
What can't she do without a big toe?
Yoga.
Right. That's what I'm saying. How much is that worth?
I feel like a big toe should be worth more than a pinky toe.
I agree. Pinky toe's like $500. Big
Come
toe's $800.
It's Live right. Nation.
It's a toe. I mean, seriously, why is there such an enormous financial equivalent to her loss of a toe?
Sandals.
It's unfortunate. It's an accident. It's a mistake. I get that. But It is a toe.
Peep toe shoes.
Right. So
I have the answer.
You have to
guys.
Wear different shoes.
You can't even wear flip flops because they'll just flop. There's no
there's
flip.
No flipping.
No.
I have the answer, you guys. I typed in a big toe loss compensation, and the first thing that came up is a personal injury attorney in Britain. All right.
Okay.
So here is a guideline for loss of toes. Loss of or loss of use of all toes, they say £30,000. So what's that now? A little more than $30,000. We're roughly close to one to one. All right. Loss of or loss of use of a big toe, £17,500, they say. Smaller toes, anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000. Mm-hmm. Broken toe with incomplete recovery, $5,000. Broken toe with complete recovery, $3,000. Wow, £3,000 for a broken toe that recovers.
Yeah, but
that's
these are
a deal.
Brits. They're notoriously soft when it comes to toe legislation and toe cases.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes. The UK is known for its soft toe judgments.
So that's the rep on them, then,
right? Yeah, they're weak on toes.
Mm. All right, so that number means nothing for Americans, then.
We should call Sweet James Bergener, I think. Get him on the phone.
That's a great idea.
See what he has to say about toes, because, you know.
Yeah, Sweet James would know more realistically.
He knows all about the toes, I'm sure.
So £17,000, that seems low to you, then, it sounds like. If you're saying they're soft, right? Or does that seem high to you?
No, it seems high to me.
It seems high to you.
They have a soft spot for toe cases.
Gotcha. All right.
I was the guy who said $807.
Yeah.
That seems low.
I'm going to say $303.
$303?
That seems
just low. Saying toes. I don't put a lot of monetary value on toes. This woman particularly is suing Live Nation, Katy Perry herself, and lots of other people for lots and lots and lots of money. And while I feel for her, and I wish the loss of a toe on no man or woman.
Right.
I just find it hard to believe that it's worth the millions of dollars that she is reportedly asking for. I just say, wear a boot.
Oh.
Buy her some boots. How about that? We'll trade you your toe for some nice boots.
Hot right now.
It's hot, Allie. You're right. Here's a thing that should be stopped. It's called Taylor Swift. And I guess the moral of the story is there's no such thing as bad publicity, because her Look What You Made Me Do video that premiered during Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards has been the source of controversy. Majority of people don't seem to care for it too much. Of course, she's got her hardcore fans. But what stunned me is it is the most viewed music video in history.
Yay!
For a span of 24 hours after its release. So they looked at all music videos and saw how many views they got in the first 24 hours of their availability. Justin Bieber's Despacito had 22 million views in 24 hours. Adele's Hello logged in 27 million views in the same time period. So that was the previous record holder. Taylor Swift's 38 million views in 24 hours. And you got to think a bunch of that is people just going to see how bad it is because so many people are talking crap about it, right?
And if she threw people under the bus type of thing.
Yeah, a lot of hate watching, I'm guessing. So regardless, she's got the record now for the most watched music video clip. So that's bad, right?
Well, I don't think I watched any of those videos except Hello. I mean,
I watched
honest,
Hello the
I
minute it
that.
Was available.
Absolutely.
I saw that.
But Despacito and this, no interest.
I watched Despacito because I heard the girl in it was smoking hot.
Okay, there you go.
And they were right. Taylor Swift.
I can't.
She must cleanse us, right?
She's very popular.
Finally.
Stop it.
Right, that's what we're saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elliot Gould is 79 years old today. Carla Gugino turns 45. Lea Michele of Glee fame. And, of course, Scream Queens. Soon to be seen in that new movie, The Mayor, over there. On
TV show,
that,
yeah.
That movie, TV show, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
30 years old today. Liam Payne, 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kind of nervous. I'm not sure whether Beer Mug's mom is a good luck charm or a curse on the Dodgers, Allie. What do you think?
Well, what they've
no
lost
one loves the Dodgers
two.
More. They've lost the last two. We're getting ready to have her on. Yeah,
I think she's going to turn it around.
I hope she does.
Yeah,
I hope her negativity works in reverse. So
I agree.
We'll try to figure it out. Dodger fan number one, Beer Mug's mom, joins us in about 50 minutes. First here on K-Rock, we got. Give me a little of that Animal Kingdom theme, would you? I hear that music come on, and And I know that it's Tuesday night at 9 on TNT. And it's a little bittersweet today because it's the season finale. Season 2 finale airs tonight. We're not going to have our boys for a while, but we've got one more hour. And we're so delighted to welcome back to the program Sean Hattasy, who we talked to at the beginning of the season. And here we are at the end. We're bookending this season of Animal Kingdom on K-Rock. How are you, Sean?
How's it going, Bean?
It's going great. Allie's here, too.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Sean.
How are you?
Good.
It's good to hear your guys' voices. I'm in North Carolina right now, so I'm not tuning in regularly. I listen to you guys when I drop my kids off, who I think are probably listening right now. So, Leo, if you're listening, what's up? And my wife, who's pregnant, Kelly.
Oh,
November. I know.
How's it? Your baby, Sean?
What's that?
Your baby?
Yeah, we're having a new one in November. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
Another boy. It'll be my third boy. And Cassius, too, who's probably on his way to middle school.
I feel like your kids are too young to be listening to this program, even for just a few minutes on their way to school, Sean.
Well, they don't necessarily. It's usually like right when I drop them off. But I told them I was going to be on, so.
Okay. Well, good deal.
Now they can turn it off.
I want to know what kind of feedback, and you're very active on social media, and we love that about you. What kind of feedback do you get from Animal Kingdom viewers about Pope? Do you get a lot of people who are really, really worried about him and are trying to offer you comfort and advice?
I do. I get a variety of different responses. I'm surprised that people find him to be somebody that they would want to hang out with. I really am. I mean, I get that they root for him, but, you know, with his suicidal and sociopathic tendencies, I do question people that are wanting to be his boyfriend.
Oh, dear.
Or his girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's questionable. I have to say this, and spoiler alert to anybody that's listening. The episode, and I don't even know if it was last week or the week before, they're all running together for me because it's just such an insane season, where you decided to come clean to your church-going girlfriend that you have, sure, in the past, smothered a woman you loved and killed her.
Like you do.
Yeah.
How intense was that scene to film?
That was one of the more challenging scenes that I've done on the show, other than the scene that you're talking about, the one where I actually, you know, put Catherine out of her misery. The scene where he reveals what he did to Amy, that was pretty brutal. And people are asking, like, they're saying stuff to me, like, on social media, "You're so weak. Why did you do that? Why did your character confess? You know, his only way out is to now murder her." But I actually think there was another way out for Pope, and I think that that's what we're kind of getting to at the end here, which is if he couldn't get the forgiveness from Amy, then his next step was going to be, you know, much darker.
Yeah,
which is to him, you know, self-destructive to himself. So I think, you know, that's sort of. Sorry to bring it down, guys.
No, really. I mean, it's an emotional arc that your character is playing, and every week you seem to be coiled tighter and tighter as your guilt ratchets up. It seems to be harder and harder for you to forget about it or reconcile it. And I mean, you're tortured on this show right now. And that, I mean, I look, I don't know how your process as an actor works. Some people can turn it on and off and it doesn't stick with them. But I feel like if I had to act in those scenes the way you do, that it would affect me when I went home at night. I would like still kind of be pretty tight, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I'm pretty good at turning it on and off. I don't know. I hear about actors like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, who walks around having everybody call him Mr. Lincoln, which, like, nobody can do that, like, the way he does it. He's the greatest actor there is. But for me, I look at it as, you know, this is acting, this is my job, and I'm pretty good about turning it off. Now, as far as like the prep and all that stuff, my wife would definitely attest to the fact that I do spend a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah, you got to get into the zone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How about the scene with Alan Barkin though? When I was convinced you two were going to make out, and I was just screaming at my television. I'm like, "That's your mom!" But then,
I know, right?
Then you didn't. So thank you.
then he didn't. He kind of, you know, Pope is a confused guy, and in moments of great emotional stress, he turns to a variety of things, and that scene quickly went from,
oh, dear,
ooh, I want to kiss you, to ooh, I want to choke you, to ooh, please hug me, to ooh, get the hell off me.
It was insane.
Yes. Yes, it was all of those things. That's exactly what it was. And we watched that that cross your face as you were thinking of all those various responses. And I also think it's so interesting, as close as this family is, there's still a lot that isn't said. And I don't think that Baz and Darren and Craig, I don't think they have any idea what's going on in your head. They just think you're just sitting in the room being quiet. They don't know what kind of murderous thoughts you're having right now.
They don't, but I appreciate how little Pope has to say. In, you know, we always have these scenes where we're huddled around the living room and planning things out, and, you know, everybody is very verbose and says a lot of things like Baz and Smurf, and Pope is just kind of sitting there quietly taking it all in, and then when he does say something, it's usually kind of important. He commands the room, you know, his energy when he walks in. That's another thing I like about him. He just sort of looks at people and he has this presence.
You're so lucky you're married, Sean, in real life, because you would never get another date after this show, man. I'm telling you.
I think you're right.
Or the ones he'd get would be whack jobs.
They would be whack jobs. Sean Hattis, he's on the phone. We're talking about Animal Kingdom. Season finale for season 2 is going to be tonight at 9 on TNT. The show is available on demand, by the way, and you should absolutely start watching from the beginning if you haven't seen it yet. I know you want to keep the spoilers down to a minimum, but will Smurf get some revenge tonight? A lot of people would say you never bet against Smurf because she's always the smartest person in the room. What can you share with us at all, Sean?
I can tell you that I'm scared. You know, I think that we're teed up and something is brewing. Something's going to happen for sure.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Something's going to happen.
I mean, we're definitely gonna. I mean, you know, like I said, Pope is definitely heading in a direction, and he's wanting some sort of salvation. And you know, things don't necessarily go as planned for Pope the way he sees it. We have Smurf in jail, and the interesting thing I think that has come to fruition is. Jay is now responsible for power of attorney here.
Yeah, he's the man now.
A lot of pressure on that young
boy. A lot
of
pressure, yeah.
So he's rising. He's climbing the ladder quickly, and Smurf has put a lot of responsibility with him. And that has the effect on Baz is what we're here to see and how he's going to deal with all that.
Well, we obviously can't wait to watch the show tonight. And let me just say one thing, and this isn't Sean saying this. This is me saying this, and I know Allie would agree. Emmy voters, if you're out there and you don't recognize the great work of Sean Hattisey on this season of Animal Kingdom, then you are not doing your job. It's your job to watch all of these shows, and if you're missing Animal Kingdom, you're missing some of the best writing and some of the best acting on television right now, and no more than our friend Sean Hattisey. And I mean that sincerely, Sean.
Thank you, man. That means a lot, man.
You have been unbelievable this season, and we're so excited for the finale tonight. And we're excited there's going to be a season 3, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. And if we don't talk to you before the baby, man, congratulations, and we'll see you soon. All right, buddy?
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me in, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye, Sean. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention or not, but this weekend is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to be September. Mm-hmm. And once it's September in Los Angeles, you start to smell the playoffs and you start to realize, hey, October is right around the corner. Could this be the year that the Dodgers finally make it back to the World Series? We're all thinking that, right?
Absolutely.
Except for one person who's on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs. She's one badass too. Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs. She hates the dog. Blue. It's time for Mama Mugs. Give me some Mama Mugs.
L'chaim. Let's welcome Beer Mug's actual mom, Mama Muggs, back to the Kevin Bean Show at K-Rock, our Dodger correspondent. How are you, Mama Muggs?
Good morning, everyone.
It's so great to hear your lovely voice again. You've been okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Beer Mug, what's it like watching a Dodgers game on TV with your mom?
It's frustrating, enraging, all of the negative emotions come into play.
So, Muggs, you're sitting there watching the game with all the optimism in the world as a Dodgers fan, and your mom is just poo-pooing on everything.
Yeah, it could be like the second inning, and the Dodgers could go down like two runs, especially this year where it's like every game is a comeback. The Dodgers could go down two runs, and then she's like, oh, it's over, it's over. I'm like, Mom, it's the second inning!
Mama Muggs, we saw a report last week that the Dodgers have had 40 comeback victories in this season. You missed all of them.
No, I did. I did see them. I have to disagree with my son, who says I do watch them, but when it's really pathetic, that's when I turn it off.
Yeah, but Mom, you got to be honest here, because there are games where it's like the third inning, and the visiting team or whoever they're facing goes up a couple runs and you turn the game off.
Well, I get bored. If they're not winning, it's boring.
She likes a winner, Muggs.
Which doesn't explain you.
How dare you be?
Mama Muggs, what are your concerns right now as we start to navigate the final weeks of the season? What are you worried about with your Los Angeles Dodgers?
Well, I think that they peaked too early, that they're not hitting right now. The playoffs are a whole different animal, and the pitchers are not doing very well. Their star pitcher, Darvish, who was supposed to be the greatest pitcher since Zeus, and he is not doing very well.
He was hurt, though. He is rehabbing, and he's supposed to be back this weekend. I mean,
he already played a game.
Yes, he's had flashes of very good pitching, though. But you're right, he's not been as consistent as we hoped, certainly. But Rich Hill has never been better. Clayton Kershaw is coming back on Friday. You got to feel great about that, right?
Right.
Oh, wow, positivity. Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's nice.
Don't get too positive, Mom.
Wow, she is hyped up right now.
Wow.
And this slump, this hitting streak, I mean, a lot of that has to do with taking Cody Bellinger out of the lineup, but he's coming back, I think, Wednesday. He'll be back. So, I mean, the pieces are starting to come back together. Look, this time of year, you know what it's like, Mama Muggs. You've been a baseball fan your whole life. All teams have injuries. All teams have to put people on the bench for a little while to recover. But we're starting to come back now in time for the playoffs.
Well, JT, Justin Turner's not hitting. All the big hitters are not hitting. The only one that's hitting is Puig, who was not even supposed to be in the lineup. And whom they're deciding to pitch the playoffs are not the good pitchers. Hill is not projected to pitch.
Why? Wait, hold on a second. What are you talking about?
Ryu is not projected to pitch. Maeda is not projected to pitch.
What do you mean, Mom?
Yeah, I'm confused by that. What do you
mean? They're selecting three pitchers to pitch in the first playoffs. And it's Kershaw, Darvish, and Wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are pretty good pitchers, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got more pitchers than most teams in Major League Baseball right now to choose from. And if somebody gets into trouble, you've got backups, Mama Muggs.
I like Hill in the playoffs. I like Ryu in the playoffs. Okay. I like Miata in the playoffs.
Mazda Miata, he's a good player.
All right.
Yeah.
So if Mr. Roberts is listening, pay attention to Mama Muggs, because she is refiguring your pitching rotation for the playoffs.
That's right.
What's your prediction? I know you're always nervous, as we all are, about the playoffs, because, you know, you lose and you go home. But what's your prediction for how this season ultimately will end? Because you never saw 91-38 at the beginning of this season, that's for sure. You have to be impressed so far. So how do you think it's going to go the rest of the way, Mama Muggs?
Well, I think they're going to slug it out. They're not going to be brilliant. They're not going to be fantastic. They're going to slug it out. And then come the playoffs. And if they have to face Arizona or Colorado, they're going to be in trouble.
They're 19 games ahead of Arizona right now. I'm not really worried about Arizona. The Diamondbacks, we're fine with them.
Yeah, but they're in first place in the playoffs.
Okay, well, we got to have somebody to play, Mama. All right, so how far ultimately will they go? Will they make it to the World Series?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Mom,
not even to the series.
No, I'm very serious. They peaked too early, and they lost their mojo.
All right. Well, I don't think they've quite lost their mojo. They've just lost two in a row.
They're 91-38.
First series loss since June, Mom. Come on.
I think that's a trend. I think that they lost their mojo.
Okay. I'm leaving. I gotta go.
Oh, no.
Oh, Muggs, don't leave. Muggs is leaving. See you later. Oh, that's just sad. All right. Well, so you're basically puncturing this balloon. You're saying it's just over. The party's over. Go home. Right, Mama Muggs?
Just about. Yes, I say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's why we love you. Thanks for coming on. We'll check in with you in a month. Bye, Mama Muggs.
Bye.
Mama Muggs. Mama, mama, mama Muggs. Mama, mama, mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger blue.
At Mama Muggs, by the way, she is consistent, if nothing else, isn't she?
That's what I like about her. You know where she stands.
you certainly do.
Flip-flopping with her.
And when the Dodgers win the World Series, and I think that's a very, very real possibility, we're going to get the lady on the phone and she's going to say, but next year, they're going to be terrible. You
Talk
can't
do it another 25 years.
Right, exactly. She'll say. I just love her. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. So glad you decided to join us. How did this conversation come up about backup or secondary or next life careers? Ralph, do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. We were talking about the lovely and talented Kate Winslet, one of my favorite actresses, a longtime crush of mine. And I was reading a story. She was doing an interview, and they talked about her options. If she hadn't become a successful actress, what do you think she might have been doing? And it turned out that she had originally planned to be a hairdresser. And she was doing a practice cut on a friend when she almost took his ear off. cut through his earlobe. He still proudly wears the scar today and tells people, hey, you know, famous movie actress, Titanic, Kate Winslet? Yeah, this is her work. She cut my ear. So it's kind of a nice story to have when you're at parties.
Sure.
So that brought up the question around the room, if you weren't doing what you'd be doing today, what do you think you'd be doing? And I asked the lovely and talented Allie McKay first. And Allie, you said?
I'd be a puppeteer.
A puppeteer.
With the Muppets and stuff.
A mother-loving puppeteer, which is not an answer that I thought I saw coming at all. And then I volunteered that my longstanding secret passion had always been to be a private detective.
Sure. Oh,
looks like so much fun.
Because I've got sort of an analytical mind, and I like solving puzzles and mysteries and stuff, and I thought it would be cool to follow cheating people and take pictures and to be a PI.
I know it looks fun on TV, but don't you think it's a ponderous job? I mean,
sure.
Those stakeouts alone, I think, would kill the job for me.
But the trench coats.
Right?
Well, trench coats are nice.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. And then we asked Bean. We made the mistake of asking Bean.
What? I had a very legitimate answer.
But you're not like a person that like other human beings. And so when you're hoping to have a regular conversation with people, you expect a regular answer. And what did we get from you, Bean? If you weren't a radio personality, what would you like to be doing?
I had an answer ready to go because it is a great regret in my life that I did not pursue my other passion besides radio, which is to be a country music songwriter.
Right. A country music songwriter.
Why country?
Because I grew up listening to country music. My dad's from North Carolina, you guys, so I grew up with a lot of country music in the house. And I always was so impressed by how beautiful and how compact those little stories are and how emotional they are and how, I don't know, there's just something
all the things that Bean is, by the way, very emotional very heartfelt and really just connecting with people. Mm-hmm. It's what he does.
There's just something about the craft of great songwriting, especially, you know, when you're talking about a Merle Haggard or a Johnny Cash or a Willie Nelson or a Kris Kristofferson or, you know, those types of people. Mm-hmm. Their songs are pure poetry, and I admire them so much, and I thought, man, I wish I had invested a little bit of energy into that.
Bean said country music is the most powerful, touching kind of music there is.
I think it is. It's from the heart, and it's about real people and real experiences, and most country music songs are about, you know, heartache and things like that are universal.
So it got me to thinking, and I've got a friend who lives in Nashville, and so and he's actually in the publishing and recording business, and I said, just out of the blue, have you ever heard of this guy, Bean Baxter? I said, I work with him here in Los Angeles. Have you ever heard from him? And he said, I get submissions from him all the time with songs, with demos of songs that he has written that he is submitting, trying to get published as country western songs.
Well, this is a big surprise to me because I didn't know that he would ever talk.
He said, I'm almost on a weekly basis, I get a new demo of a song that Bean Baxter has written and sent in, hoping that some country music artist will pick it up and record it and make it a big hit.
Apparently, I am very prolific.
So I said, could you please just send me a few snippets, just some clips of songs that he had sent you in? And so luckily, my friend got back to me, and we have some of Bean's songs that he has written, some of the country songs he has written, just little pieces. We don't have time for the whole song, but I just brought a couple in. I thought you might be interested. You know, they say write what you know. And so I thought this song written by Bean was appropriate because apparently he's talking about his own life.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be DJs. They'll live on an island and stay out of touch. They celebrate three-quarters Christmas and such.
Yeah. See, that's not a song I think anyone's going to record. It's
you're supposed to write about what you know, like you said, Ralph.
Well,
it is very compact.
Very compact. Just a little snippet. We just have time for snippet. Here's another snippet of a song. Again, Bean, I think, writing from the heart.
I'm a creepy cowboy. Staring at all those girls in those low-cut tops. And now they're yelling at me and demanding I stop. I think now they're calling the cops.
Yeah. That's just...
It's a good rhyme, though. You got to respect the rhyme.
There's another one that kind of disturbed me when I heard the lyric. Oh, I only listened to a little piece, and then I just kind of turned it off.
All my exes are now corpses.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what that one's about. I didn't even want to imagine the rest of the lyrics. I did. I just said, no, I can't listen anymore. I don't want to hear anymore.
I couldn't even get Alan Jackson to listen to that one, by the way.
This is very Bean.
I am drinking a milk that's filled with chocolate. It's a little spoiled, but I think that I can still rock it. Drink, drink, drink the milk of chocolate.
Song's not going anywhere.
This one, though, I think has a
chance.
Oh,
there's more?
I think this particular, this is the last one. I think Bean has a chance to actually sell this one. I could see someone recording this one.
I've got no friends in any places. A boring fact or story chases them all away. So, alone I stay.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to having no friends, can't we?
So it's best that I didn't pursue that line of work, it sounds like.
I think you should pursue it full time, personally.
Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat 853. What's going on?
Well, thanks to listener Justin Watson, who gave me the heads up as to why the Taylor Swift video has now become the most watched music video of all time.
Bots.
I thought it was odd.
Bots?
Because we had talked about Bieber's Despacito getting 22 million views in the first 24 hours. Adele's Hello, which is a really powerful video, 27 million. This has something like 33 million views.
39. Well, I just thought you'd want an accurate number.
Here's why. Apparently, Taylor Swift has a deal with Ticketmaster, where if you watch the video multiple times a day, you get a boost in line on your Ticketmaster queue to get tickets to her concert tour.
No, that special fan
type
of deal. What's that? We just talked to that guy last week, Bean. Mm-hmm. Who was that? What was it called?
Ticketmaster Verified Fan. Yeah.
Right. The more you watch her video multiple times during the day, the more you get boosted up in the queue in line with Ticketmaster.
So it's like an algorithm,
so
and it bumps you to
bribing people to watch her video.
That's shady.
How desperate is she? How sad
Bean,
is she?
Did you know this?
I did. I mean...
Oh! Well, why not bring it up when we're having a conversation about it?
I forgot until you mentioned the deal with the Ticketmaster. I forgot that watching the video was a boost. Because when I was on the website, when I was pre-ordering stuff, T-shirts and whatnot. When you buy merchandise also through the site, you get a boost as well, which is supposed to put you closer to the front of the line when the tickets go on sale. But I guess I'd forgotten that watching the video, because I didn't watch the video on her site. I just watched it on Vivo, so I didn't know that. I'd forgotten that that was part of the deal. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It should be encouraging people to watch it.
It's the worst. Got to do something. Got to make a plan. We got to finish this. We got to end this somehow.
I feel like we do.
I think we do, too, Allie. We need a piano and and a tall building.
Okay.
And we need her walking by. And then we need a cartoon death. We need her popping through the piano, birds going around her head, and then piano keys is where her teeth used to be. Yeah.
Yes! That'd be awesome. Okay, I'm in now.
Right?
I like the birds going in a circle, but the piano key teeth. Right.
Here's
haters gonna hate. And then she falls over and dies.
Yes.
Cartoon death for her. We don't want that.
That'd be awesome.
But here's what I don't get, and tell me if I'm wrong to say this, which is she's already possibly the most popular pop star in the world. Why do you need to make people jump through hoops to get tickets to your show or to watch your videos or something like that? People are already interested in her and her music and her career. It just seems like I don't get what the reason is to do all this other nonsense.
Could it be
drama queen?
That could be a good reason. That guy had a good idea. Could it be a deep sense of insecurity where she needs to be constantly reaffirmed?
Possibly. Because if she didn't have this boost system on her website, don't you think 20 million people would have watched the video anyway?
Yes, exactly.
And yeah. And you know what? That's fine.
No,
so
it's
20
not.
Million people
That's
watch
not
your
number
video.
One. It's not the most.
Well.
Bitch.
Right? Oh, that guy is, I don't know who he is, but he is smart and he has a lot of good things to say.
Seems very perceptive, that's for sure.
It sure is. Speaking of pop star, Selena Gomez's Instagram was apparently hacked yesterday. The account was quickly taken down after several nude photos of Justin Bieber showed up on her site there, her Instagram account.
I think a beer mug asked Selena Gomez about it. We have the tape.
Oh, great.
We have the tape.
Oh, great.
Selena, over here. Selena, God damn it.
Oh, like you didn't get it.
Not much of an information there. Apparently, they were the same photos that we all saw after Selena and Justin's Bora Bora vacation in 2015. They were hacked, they were posted, and a lot of people noticed, because I did not know this, but she is the most followed person on Instagram with 125 million followers.
I didn't
know that. Selena!
Beer mug, you're not going to get the interview.
Miss Gomez, Selena! No,
you're not
God
getting the interview.
Damn it!
You're not getting the interview. Bean and the rest of us have been talking about cover songs. Because on Friday, we're going to have a big cover song day.
Yes, and by the way, coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to get into some of the worst cover songs of all time, so we can steer people away from requesting those for Friday's show, which is going to be good cover versions of K-Rock songs.
That's a good idea, but I thought this was appropriate. It just broke. There's a new soundtrack for the Netflix animated series BoJack Horseman that will be available digitally on September the 8th. And they have all horse-themed songs in there, including this cover of a 1972 number one song called A Horse With No Name by a band called America. It's an awful song, don't get me wrong, but it has been covered by Michelle Branch and Patrick Carney of the Black Keys. They are fiancés, and they recorded this song together. Here's a little taste. Because there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
It's got some very weird syntax in that song.
And there's one line there. One of our listeners, Julie, pointed out that there's a line there. One of the lyrics is, "There were plants and birds and rocks and things." It's just lazy.
You're just
a lazy stoner hippie just singing into your lava lamp. America, stop it.
I like the original America song.
No, it's awful.
and I don't mind that cover, but I'm wondering if you have any idea what other songs
I was just thinking
about horses are on the album.
I don't have it. I'll find out.
Please do, because there's a lot of great
one is songs. The soundtrack song itself. There's a theme song is one of them, and a bunch of other.
Anyone do Wild Horses, the Stones song?
I don't have the information here in front of me.
Does it say there whether they do Wildfire?
You
that's
need
my favorite
to
horse
stop
song.
Asking me questions
do they
about
do
horse songs.
Echo and the Bunnymen Spring on the Dancing Horses.
It's a great song. Great
I
song.
Would like you both mm-hmm. to be standing next to Taylor Swift when the piano is released.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Here for friends. My horses. Did you do that one? The Toby Keith song?
Celebrity birthdays. Elliot Gould is 79 years old today. Carla Gugino turns 45.
High Horse, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Lea Michele is 30 years old today.
One Trick Pony, the Paul Simon song. Is that on your list?
And Liam Payne celebrates his 24th birthday. I wasn't told he was 24 today.
Oh.
I was corrected by a hardcore Liam Payne fan.
Oh.
Who I don't know, why is listening to the show? I have no idea.
Well, Team Liam.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA,
that's
no,
just giving up. That's just giving up right there. And the song. And the damn song like a man.
It sounds like they just unplugged it. It sounds like their electricity went out right there at the end. Just all wound down. Yep. Hey, coming up right after Ralph's showbiz beat here on the Kevin Amin Show, Beer Mug will tell you where he's going to be today and how you can win, among other things, free tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl coming up on September 16th, which will be here before you know it. First, though, here's Ralph.
Does he have any Action Skulls tickets yet? Do we know?
He doesn't, so. Doesn't
really?
Say that here.
Got to see that. See the Action Skulls.
I know they are your new favorite band.
They are my new favorite band, yeah. Let me give you something right now. These are passes to a K-Rock advanced screening of a film so terrifying, I can barely say its name. So I will just call it It. Let's just call it It. I'm going to call the film It. I'm not going to say the title. I'm just going to say It when referring to this film.
You nailed it.
I will say It.
That's actually the title.
Exactly. I'm going to say It.
Yeah, just leave it.
So I'm going to leave it at that. Absolutely. Just It. That's all I'm going to say.
You're
going to
leave It at that.
Right. That's all I'm going to say is It. I'm not going to say the title. Okay. Just It. I'm going to call it It. Let's call it It. It's
the name of the movie.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It. That's what we're going to say.
All right.
It, of course, the Stephen King classic. Hitting the big screen on September 8th. You can see it before anybody else at our special K-Rock Advanced screening of It at the Arclight Hollywood September 6th. Five lucky winners will get a pair of passes to our advanced screening. If you'd like to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call.
Because we all float down here, Georgie.
You are all going to die tonight.
Right?
You just want me to be joking around, be the clown, make everybody laugh.
Yeah. Better than those homicidal clowns, don't you think? Some music news this morning. Coldplay. They're good people, those Coldplay kids.
Yeah. Very much so.
They were supposed to perform in Houston last week. I don't know if you know this or not, but the storm was already threatening that area, and so they had to postpone their gig. And they're going to have to do a makeup date. But they were in Miami on Monday night, and they announced that they had written a song for Houston, to dedicate to Houston. They were all big fans of country music growing up, said Chris Martin, and
uh-oh.
So... what?
I'm concerned to hear Coldplay attempt country music.
Well, look, they have sort of a country thing to them.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
They do. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Huh.
So he said he wanted to write a song for Houston, called Houston, and they said it's a one-off. It's a new song. They'll never play it again, so I'm glad they picked Miami to play that song. I don't know, maybe you want to hold off until you're in Texas someplace.
Maybe, yeah.
So they're going to play it there, and then they said they're going to send it off to everyone who missed their show last week in Houston and give them all the best, the wishes. It's a song.
Oh, dear.
And it's called Houston, and it's dedicated to Houston. And I'm sure they meant the best when they wrote it and performed it.
Uh-oh.
I feel like you're suggesting that Texas has already suffered enough, and maybe this is an unfair burden to put
very
on
very talented. Chris Martin's very talented, usually.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Usually, he's usually very talented.
Okay.
Here's a little snippet from Houston.
Yeah.
Did you write that one, Bean?
If I may weigh in as a professional country music songwriter, yeah. Uh-huh. They're a little on the point there.
Here's another lyric from that song. I'm dreaming of when I get back to Houston. I'm dreaming of that very special place. I'm dreaming of when Houston has no problems in that city where they send you into space.
Okay.
See, because Houston,
sure.
We have a problem.
Sure.
But Mission now control.
They're dreaming of when Houston has no problems.
I mean, they
send you into space.
They made an effort.
They did. You can certainly
good
say
effort.
That much. That
good
they,
effort.
They can, effort. Let's leave it at effort.
Okay.
You can see the video of this performance if you dare at KROQ.com. It's up.
More music news.
Whoa.
How about that? Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff have reunited to perform music again, right?
Okay.
They were at Blackpool's Livewire Festival on Sunday over the weekend. And they were there doing their greatest hits, and they gave the crowd a taste of their latest song, Get Lit, it's called. And it is a song.
Does it make you long for the Coldplay Houston song?
They also put some effort into this. And it is a song about lighting up the world from the inside, from your inner light. It's called Get Lit. And I'd love to play a little taste of that now.
I see you there now, smoking from your unseen fire. Walk in the place, then the darkness erase. You need a key to help you light it up. Come on, come on. You need a key to help you light it up. You need a key.
Get lit with it.
Yeah. Okay, here's the situation.
Not get lit with it. Allie's is at a loss for words.
Maybe it's just because it's live and they mm-hmm. haven't done it a lot yet. Mm-hmm. It didn't come across mm-hmm. quite mm-hmm. how. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you need to hear it again?
No.
Smoking from your unseen fire.
Oh,
it just
sounds great,
right?
I feel like our hoo-ha's on fire.
Mm.
Yeah.
You need a key to help you light it up. Come on, come on.
Come on.
You need a key to help you light it up. You need a key to make you light it up. Light it up. Light it up. Light it up. Light up. Light up. Light up. Light up the place. No.
Yeah.
Can I add that they do not sound like professional musicians on that clip.
Wow.
That sounds like just terrible. Somebody gets up in front of a bar and does karaoke is what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, the mic didn't help either.
It didn't help. No, it's not a great recording.
Yeah. Oh, it's the mic's fault.
The mic was muffled because I will say this. DJ Jazzy Jeff is one of the best DJs ever.
He was
and
not
one of
singing.
The best going.
He was not singing. DJ Jazzy Jeff was not
that
singing.
That is true.
He wasn't the one singing.
But I mean,
fire!
Yeah, the mic didn't help.
Yeah, it's that whole deal's got problems.
Why is her fire so
smoky?
It needs to be lit up and
fire must cleanse us. That's my new hit song, and I hope you'll all listen.
Fire must cleanse us.
That's right. And people are already unhappy with the Mayweather-McGregor fight and the pay-per-view event.
I thought the deal was that most people felt like they got their money's worth. They went 10 rounds.
Except for
it
some people like this guy in Oregon who has filed a class action lawsuit against Showtime over the fight, which apparently had some sort of live stream failure during the fight. Did anybody hear about this? Mm.
Yes, the UFC Fight Pass people could not get on right at 9 o'clock or 9:30, whatever, and they ended up delaying the start of the fight to try to reconcile that before they started. Yeah, a lot of people were having trouble with it.
Well, Showtime said it would refund users their $19.99 if they experienced problems with the Showtime pay-per-view app.
Hmm.
So, if that's how you viewed it through the Showtime pay-per-view app and you're watching on a device, then apparently you can get a refund. I watched just on DirecTV. I didn't have any problems with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will not be part of that lawsuit.
I might join.
And you saw it and were happy with it.
I was very happy with it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elliot Gould is 79 years old today. Actress Carla Gugino turns 45. Lea Michele is 30 years old. Singer Liam Payne turns 23 or 24. I can't really find out because people keep telling me different things. But he's in his early 20s. Happy birthday, Liam.
Just check your One Direction fan club merchandise. Exactly. It must be on there somewhere.
Yeah, must be. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garman. How about Beer Mug?
How about Beer Mug?
Another appearance today on behalf of the brand new 2017 K-Rock Summer Sticker at which SoCal Hot Topic location, my friend?
We will be at the Del Amo Fashion Center located at 21540 Hawthorne Boulevard in Torrance. Tons of tickets we're giving away, including Green Day, Cal Jam. We got a $106.70 Hot Topic gift card. You can sign up for the grand prize. We got so loud yesterday in the Riverside Mall that security came over and gave us two warnings to,
good for them.
To quiet down.
Should have tossed your hippie ass out of there.
I'm not a hippie.
You are. Look at you with all your hippiness.
Did you tell the man when he tried to shut down the party that if it's too loud, he's too old? You tell him that?
That's a good line. I should use that.
Yeah, you should have.
But no, we will be there from 1 to 3 today. Tons of tickets, tons of prizes. Come down. Still no Action Skulls tickets.
No though. Action Skulls?
Oh, no.
That's too bad. That's unfortunate. All right. Del Amo Fashion Center this afternoon from 1 till 3 at the Hot Topic in Torrance there. Very well done. On your drive home today, listen to Stryker's commercial Free for All, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Now, tomorrow, believe it or not, they are inviting us back to do another Kevin and Bean show. I was, frankly, surprised as well. What do we have on tomorrow? If only I could find the paperwork.
I mean,
nice tap dancing, though.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us not only for the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph Garman, as we do at 7:30, but he is coming in a little bit early with a preview of the USC, UCLA, and just overall college football season just ahead. So that'll be nice to get P's expertise. Also, it's Wednesday, and I think you know what that means.
Oh, Wheel-o.
Wheel-o.
Unbelievable.
Bad Animal Voices on the program tomorrow as well. And I think that's it. Oh, your friend Michelle Beadle's going to be on tomorrow, too. What's
she
that about,
She will
Allie?
Be on tomorrow. She is a Texas girl, and she's doing her part to raise some money.
She have a song, like a Coldplay song?
Oh, wow. You know what? We can talk about that because we did karaoke Saturday.
Oh, maybe
so she, maybe she does have a song.
Maybe she can do a cover. Maybe she can do a cover of that Houston song by Coldplay.
All right. So she'll be joining us to tell you how you can help raise some money for the flood victims in Houston. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow here on K-Rock.